It's October 16th, Kartik classes, the glorious Seva of Srimati Radhika.
Vande Guru Paradvandvam Bhakta Vrinda Samanvitam Sri Chaitanya Prabham Vande Nityanandam Sahoditam Sri Nandanandanam Vande Radhika Charana Dvayam Gopi Jana Samayuktam Vrindavana Manoharam Amala Kamala Raji Sparshi Vata Prashite Anisha Sarsini Dage Sayamulasaniyam Parijana Gana Yukta Kridianti Bakarim Snapayati Nijadase Radhika Mamkadanu.
So yesterday we were discussing the different sevas in the list of sevas in Ujjwala Nilamani, and we covered three different services that the mandris and sakis perform for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna, that they arrange for their meetings, abhisar. And they cheat their husbands, and they also console and comfort Radharani, especially when she's feeling distress for various reasons. And so today we'll discuss the number four in our list, or arranged list, alphabetical list. This is called create. And they create attraction. What do? They create attraction between Radha and Krishna, between the divine couple. And there's some examples given of that. 432. Usually everyone's trying to create attraction to themselves by dressing or decorating. But here are the mantris and the sakis there. Of course, they're very attractive and beautiful. But their seva is to create attraction. And how do they do it? So there's a couple of different examples that Rupa Goswami Pad uses to describe that. And this is in Sakhi Prakarana, chapter 8. This is verse number 104. Because this is a technique, what is called is a sakti, is called Krishna Sakya Sakti Karita. Asakti Karita, to create attachment. Asakti means attachment. So to create attachment or attraction. Vidagdha Madhav. Sarupa Goswami, his first example is from Vidagdha Madhav, his own composition. And here he describes producing a sakhi's attraction to Krishna from Vidagdha Madhav. And so the Sanskrit goes like this. So Sauravormi Paridigda Digantarapi Pandyam Janu Sutanu Ganda Fali Vibharti Rade Nabvid Brahma Bara Kriyate Yiranke Kamam Napita Marana Marasuranena. Producing a sakhi's attraction to Krishna. And this is a verse that Lita and Vishaka are speaking to Srimati Radharani. Because obviously Radharani is completely 100% attracted to Krishna. And sometimes she acts in such a way that she's unconcerned or not attracted or not interested in meeting Krishna or associating with Krishna. So Lalita and Vishaka, they say, oh, beautiful, slender Radha, even if the champak flower spreads its fragrance of sweet aroma in all directions, that flower, the champak, lives in vain. In other words, its existence of that very fragrant and attractive champak flower, its existence is vain or useless, of no value. If a playful bumblebee does not drink its honey and perform pastimes there. So this is this is called parokshavad, indirect speaking. That's so very much a part of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. They don't say things on point blank, as we say. They speak in an indirect way, which is much more appealing and more enticing, and creates a certain, creates enchantment, because you have to, what does this analogy mean? Does it mean me? Does it mean Krishna? Which part of the analogy is me? Which is Krishna? So then one gets, it's like a, almost like a riddle. What is the mystery behind this speech? And what is the, there's indirect speech, but there's a direct meaning. So what is, this is called Parokshavad. The vad, or the speech, which is paroksha, it's to see the visibility of it at first. Paroksha is not easily the visibility and understanding of it comes later, or a few seconds, or the understanding of that statement is only by those that know, and those that don't know won't understand. For example, when Krishna's waking in Nandagram in the morning in Pratakal at 6 o'clock, 6 to 8 o'clock in the morning, then all the coward boys, Gobata, Kinkini, and Stoka Krishna, and they all gather in the ante-room, the outside room of his bedroom, and they start clamoring and making all kinds of noise. Krishna, come, come, we have to go to the Goshala, milk the cows, and go out for Goshta, Vihar, pasturing the cows. And Madhu Mangal, he sleeps right there, just next to Krishna's room, and he's almost like Krishna's secretary or best of friends in one sense. And he's right there in the house with him. Sridham is a very good friend, but he lives in Barsana with his mother, Kirtida. And Subal is a very close and intimate Priyanarmasaka, but he lives in his own house somewhere else. But Madhu Mangal is right there all the time. He's, because he has a couple of different services. One is that he's the head pujari. He's the head pujari for the Nanda Baba ISKCON temple. No. He's a head pujari for Nanda Maharaj's temple of Lakshmi Narayan. Like all kings, they always have a mandir or temple in their palace. And it, surprisingly to know, you may not know, but in near Agra, there's a place near Agra in India. There's a place called something Fatikipuri or something, Fatipuri, something like this. And this Mughal emperor, his name was Akbar. He was extremely religiously inclined, unlike some of his descendants later. And this, later on, there was some rather ignoble and nefarious successors to the throne. But when he was here, it was during the time of the six Goswamis. So his minister was of war. His, what do you say, commander-in-chief was Man Singh, who is a Kshatriya from Rajasthan and Hindu. He's a Hindu. But he was the commander-in-chief of the army, and he was a devotee, and he was considered to be a disciple of Raghunath Bhatta. And so Raghunath Bhatta prevailed upon him. He said, listen, why don't you ask your boss, Akbar, if he can make a donation? As we often ask people to make a donation to build a temple. So then Man Singh asked Akbar, can you give a donation? Because the devotees in Vrindavan, they want to build a temple for the Thakurji Radha Govinda. So he said, sure. And he donated the stone for Radha Govinda and Radha Gopinath and Madan Mohan. And then those temples were produced. So he's very religiously tolerant. So not only did he have Mughal wives, he had several wives, but he had several Hindu wives also. And one of the wives that he had was a great devotee of the Lord, Krishna Bhakta. So in his palace near Agra in Fatehpuri, or whatever it's called, some Mughal name, then in his palace he had a temple of Gopal for his wife, who was a devotee. And he was tolerant of that. In the stone, there's a stone written in, it's, I don't know if it's written in Urdu or Persian or Sanskrit, inside the old Govinda Dev Mandir. And in there it says, this temple was built by the kind donation of Emperor Akbar, and it was opened in 1590, Radha Govinda was opened in 1590. And under the auspicious rule of King Akbar, all the saints and devotees are living peacefully in Braj Mandal. It's written in stone. And some glorification of that donor for the stone of the Govindaji temple. But and then later there was a little different situation because it's one mogul donated for the stone and another one kind of reduced it a little bit. So different mentalities. So the point I'm making is he had a temple in his house of his wife. So all the kings generally have temples. When you go to Rajasthan, you'll see that visit Ajmer and other palaces, that generally the kings have temples of Durga. One worships goddess Durga, Devi, for power to conquer. And so they generally want the favor of Devi or Durga. So they, even if they may be Vaishnavas, and of course they're Hindus, but if they have a temple in their palace, usually it's only one and it's Durga. So Nanda Maharaj, he's a Vaishnava in Nara Leela, in human-like Leela. He's a Vaishnava, he's a Hindu king, he's a Vaishnava. And a king, let's say he's a Vaishya king of the cowherds, Brajaraj. And his Ishtadeva, he has one deity of Nrisimhadeva and one of Lakshmi Narayan. And that temple is inside of his house. And when you see the maps and drawings of the situation of Nitya Leela, then you'll see the temple room is facing east. So Mada Mangal was the head pujari for that temple room. So he was in charge of the offerings and pujas and whatnot. And he was Krishna's best buddy, because maybe it's boring staying around the palace all day and doing pujas. So he runs out with Krishna all day in the cowherd pastures and enjoys all kinds of fun and games with all the cowherd boys, and principally eating and joking, because he's a Virusaka. A Virusaka is a category of servants of Krishna known as jokers, Virusaka. They're very good, funny people. And kings and princes, they always like to have some funny people around to lighten the load of management and to lighten the load of the responsibility they have. So when they come in, then the Maramango, he hears everyone. He says, "Okay, boys, look, I'll go in and wake him up." I'm talking about Parokshavad and indirect speech, all right? And how there's a hidden meaning. Parokshavad means speech is there's something hidden. There's something deeper, hidden meaning. What's obviously said, because here we're talking about the creating attraction to Krishna. One of the Sakhi Sevas is creating attraction to Krishna. So for Radha, or attraction for Radha and Krishna. So here are two Sakhis, Lalita and Vishakha, speaking to Radharani. They're saying, "Oh, a champak flower is very fragrant and beautiful, and its fragrance goes everywhere. But it's useless if a bumblebee doesn't come and smell that fragrance. Because if you have something that's valuable, and generally has value when it's appreciated by someone else or utilized by someone else. A mango tree has great value. What is the value of a mango tree? Mangoes." The obvious answer. So when does it become useful and fruitful in another, not to play on words, but when does it, fruitful means successful, or safal, we say in Hindi, safal, with fruit. When does it become meaningful is when someone takes the fruit, picks the fruit from the tree and offers it to Krishna and as a bhog offering, and of course honors the prasadi, phal, fruit. So this is the indirect. So when Krishna, when Madhumanga said, "Get up, Krishna," then he got up, he was getting up and yawning, and then Purnamasi came. Then Yashoda came in, and then Yashoda and Purnamasi, when Krishna's waking up, and Yashoda says, "Oh, look at these coward boys, they wrestle so roughly." And, Krishna, they bite his lips, they scratch his chest, and there's marks on his neck, and here and there, they're just too rough. And then Madhu Mangal, he makes a pun. He said, he put this word, Ali means gopi, and Ali can mean gopas. So in Sanskrit, he's saying, yes, I know. Because he's saying these loving friends. He uses Sanskrit, he says. But so Krishna knows what he means. So Madhav Mangala, he's saying, oh, Yashoda, you don't know. It's Krishna's loving friends. Krishna's loving friends are so intimate with him that they just go mad in his association and they can't leave him alone. And but all the way the words are, so it sounds like Parokshavad. And Mother Yashoda said, yes, we have to correct these boys, and I have to tell Dao and Gobata and some of the senior coward boys, Gopas, Gobata, to look after Krishna and protect him more from these rowdy youngsters that bite him up and scratch him up. So then when he says that, when he's speaking in an indirect way, Maravango, and no one knows, Purnamasi has no idea what he's saying. The real meaning, it's Parokshavad, it's indirect. And nor does Yashoda, but Krishna, he knows it. And then he looks at Madhav Mangala with this kind of be quiet. What are you saying? I know what you're saying. If you don't be quiet. So then Krishna even says to him, listen, Madhav, if you don't be quiet, if you keep speaking like this, I'm going to slap you. But if you behave yourself, I'll give you a ladu. I'll give you some ladus. So this is what they're doing. They're creating attraction by speaking in an indirect way. In other words, the champak has nectar in it, has a beautiful fragrance, but if the black bumblebee or brahmar comes and smells that fragrance and drinks that nectar, then it has usefulness, it has value. So in an indirect way, the gopis are saying, you're sitting here pouting in separation and sulking in separation from Krishna. But you're so beautiful, and you're so fragrant. The fragrance of your love and beauty is emanating in all directions. If you don't allow a bumblebee to fly over here and land on this champak, then all your fragrance and nectar will go to nasht. It will become useless. So we know one black bumblebee that wants to land on the champak flower of your face and drink the nectar of your lips. So that's really the implied meaning. It's, oh, Radharani, you're very beautiful and fragrant. Your body is naturally fragrant, especially your face and eyes and everything is fragrant. And your lips are very tasty and sweet, especially for that Madhusudan. Madhusudan Sri Krishna, Madhu means sweetness and Sudan means nectar. One who loves to relish the nectar of the sweet lips of the gopis, Madhusudan. Because Radharas Suda, Suda means nectar. And Madhu means honey. So this is how they create attraction. Okay, now that's the ladies working on Radha to create her attraction. But what about Krishna? Now there's an example of producing attraction or creating. This is called creating attraction in Krishna. So producing Krishna's attraction for Radha. This is from the same book. It says, Yad yetasyam vara pari parimal arabda vishvotsavayam natam krishna brahmara ramase radhika malikayam krishna brahmara radhika malikayam artakova navatarani mod basinas te tatasyad Vrindavana tavyam iha viharana prakriya chaturvi. They say, oh, black bumblebee, oh, Krishna Brahmar. Brahmar is that big, fat, dark, bluish black bumblebee. Very shiny, makes buzzing noise. If you decline to enjoy the Malika flower or jasmine flower named Radha, who produces such a fine fragrance that fills the whole universe with happiness if they smell that fragrance, then what is the purpose of your splendid youthfulness? And what is the purpose of your expertise in enjoying the pastimes in the Vrindavan forest? Brindatavya viharana prakriya chaturi means cleverness, your cleverness, your chatur. Sometimes children in India, they say, oh, how is your son? Oh, he's very chatur. We say chanchal. You must have heard this word chanchal. He goes here and there and he eats this thing and he drops that thing. And he, oh, I want cookies, and he eats cookies. No, I don't want cookies. I want, and he eats one, half a cookie. No, I don't like cookies. I want some cake, or I want some samosa. So it's his chanchal in his eating habits. So sometimes they say, oh, he's chatur. He's a very clever boy. I hide something high, then he stacks this thing and that thing up and he climbs on top of them and he reaches in, he steals those cookies or whatever. So they're saying he's chatur, he's very expert in what? Not in stealing cookies, but in stealing hearts. and virana prakriya, brindadavyam. In the forest of Vrindavan, he's very expert in enjoying pastimes. And so this is, they're trying to excite Krishna that, listen, you're buzzing around here with all your beauty and cleverness and expertise. You're a bumblebee is very expert and clever how to find that most fragrant flower and extract the nectar from it. Those that study the science of apiology, the science of beekeeping, the study of beekeeping, like biology, whatnot, apiology, apiology. They have studied these little creatures called honeybees, and Brahma is like that also. And they find that they may have their houses here, what they call hive, beehive. And nearby there's some flowers, maybe rose or whatever. But 2 kilometers away there's some gardenias or some mogra that are real. A rose is very fragrant, but gardenias are really fragrant. Or frangipani flowers they have in Hawaii. And there's so many exotic tropical flowers in different parts of the world, Thailand and of course India. So the bees will forego that rose flower and say, oh, you're smelling nice, you have nectar, but not as good as that nectar. Not as fragrant as that flower 2 kilometers away. So fly all the way 2 kilometers away just to get the nectar. Like we say, I want the nectar. So that this is another point. They're saying, you know, you're flying all around the forest of Vrindavan. Like a bumblebee is flying all around, this flower, that flower, they're saying. But you're missing the most fragrant, tasty, you're missing the most fragrant flower that contains the most nectar. Don't you know about that one? It's called the Radha Phool. Phool means flower. It's called the Radha Phool, and she is Utpala. Utpala means fully blossoming in what? In love for you. And whole body is an ocean of nectar. What happened? Who's buzzing? This guy? Oh, stop buzzing. You're becoming... He looks like a Brahmar, and now he's starting to act like a Brahmar. Okay, go down. Don't buzz. Don't get excited. Oh, that's good. My batteries are low, too. I have to change. Is he buzzing now, or is he behaving himself? He's all right? Still buzzing. I don't know, maybe sometimes you're on electricity. Maybe we shifted to inverter from Sarkari or so, or back the other way. What to do? I don't know. It's hard to... There's a lot of things going on here. Technical difficulties. That's what happens. The microphone became one with the Brahmar. And they make this sound, so someone's watching a YouTube movie later. Wow, this is good sound effects. Maharaj is talking about about this Brahmar bees, and then automatically in the background, how did he put in the sound of a bzzz? At any rate, this is India. So this is an example of creating attraction. It's the fourth service that we've discussed. And the fifth one is to deliver messages between Radha and Krishna. And this one is, so we can discuss that. It's a very nice service. We were mentioning the other day about love letters back and forth. So this is sending messages. It's called sandesh prasanam. This is an example from Hansa Dutta. And Hansadutta is a play written by Rupa Goswami Pad. And he wrote another one called Uddhava Sandesh. Sandesh means messages. So firstly, the Hansadutta, I get confused sometimes. I think Uddhava Sandesh, Uddhava and Krishna were in Mathura, and Krishna was missing the gopis too much. Almost every night he was calling out Radha's name and the Sakhi's names in Mathura and on into Dwarka, the same thing, which is there in Brihad Bhagavatamritam described, and other places about Mathura. And he was very exasperated and full of anguish and separation from Vrindavan. So one day he confided in Uddhava and said, can you please take these messages, sandesh, to the gopis and especially Radharani? So then he came, and I believe that was first. And then the gopis, or vice versa, I forget. And then there's two plays, they go together. You can't just read one without the other one. Because one message, like I send you an SMS, and then you send me an SMS, if it demands a reply or whatever. So Krishna sent his message and through this Uddhava. And the Sakhis heard it, and then they sent a message back through a swan, Hansa. Duta means carrier, Vishnu Duta. Carrier, transporter, Jaladut. The Jaladut was the transporter, the boat, cargo boat that transported Prabhupada from India to hell, I mean America, to begin his preaching, and called the Jaladut, means Jal means water, transport across the water. So Lalita spoke to the swan and said, listen, you know, you go to Mathura and you tell Krishna what the situation here is with Radharani and all these other gopis. So this is an excerpt from there, sending messages, because the whole verse by verse is all different messages that Lalita Sakhi is dictating to the swan and glorifying Krishna and reminding him of the gopis. And one message was to Krishna, oh Krishna, have you forgotten? Have you forgotten that small sapling, that small lata that you and Radharani together One day in your pastimes on the bank of the Yamuna near the Vamshivat, you were walking along the Yamuna, then you had an idea, say, hey, let's do some tree planting, reforesting Vrindavan. So Krishna was the first ecologist, you could say. Of course, sometimes he was burning down forests. Also, in Hastinapur, he went hunting once with Arjuna in this Mahabharata. And that's also in the Krishna book in the Dwarka Lila section. They came to the Kandava forest. And then there's a whole long story that Agni Dev needed some herbs there for his health, but the forest belonged to King Indra. And then Krishna told Arjuna, he said, put an Agni mantra arrow and burn this forest and we'll offer it to Agni. So then, because Krishna is not afraid of Indra, as you well know, he already put Indra in his place when he was a young boy in Vrindavan. Giriraj Dharana Ki Jai. Govardhana Dharana Ki Jai. So now he's grown up a little bit and he's in the Dwarka Leela. Now he's in Hastinapur visiting Arjuna and they're hunting in the Kandava forest. So he said, oh, Agni is also my great devotee and he needs some herbs here for his health. So then they had to burn that forest down to find those herbs or whatever. So as a service to Agni, Krishna said, burn it all down. So they burned it down. And then Agni was very, very pleased because he ate up all, whatever the fire was burning, he was eating up all the forest and all those herbs and becoming very strong. So then he was very happy. So he blessed Arjuna with what? The Gandiva bow, I believe so. That famous Gandiva Raj of Bhagavad Gita. Gandivadhara, Arjuna. And also in that forest there was a demon living. His name was Maya Dhanava. And he was going to get burned up. So then Krishna rescued him. He took shelter of Krishna and Krishna saved him. And then he felt so indebted. He said, listen, I'm a master architect and designer. Can I do anything for you? He said, yeah, I'm doing all right, but You can do, you know, Vishwakarma made my place down in Dwarka, but you can do something for the Pandavas here in Indraprasht or whatever it was. I think actually the Pandavas lived in Indraprasht and Kauravas lived in Hastinapur, to be accurate. So in Indraprasht, because Arjuna is a son of Indra, so their area of Delhi was called Indraprashta. At any rate, sometimes people overlap the names. So he said, you can build a wonderful palace. So he said, yes, I'll make a magical palace that people won't know the difference between land and water and all these things. Maya Dhanava. And as you know, there was, Duryodhan came there and made a fool of himself. He thought he was walking, all these, suddenly he said, oh, there's this amazing palace of Yudhisthira. There's a pool of water here. This must be to wash the feet of the guests when they come in to enter the palace. He saw this pool of water, and he's walking along the pathway, going up into the palace, and he saw this like long like trough or like a narrow swimming pool or pool of water, and bounded with sculptures and plants. And that's what he saw. So he picked up his dhoti, like a lady picking up the end of her sari to going through a mud puddle. So he picked up the end of his dhoti, and it looks rather odd when you're a kshatriya. With these bulging muscles and fantastic figure, and you pick up the end of your dhoti like doop doop. He didn't want to get his gold embroidered silk dhoti wet for the party in the Indraprasht. He wanted to look tip top. So he picked it up and he's walking like this and looking a little funny, you might say. The queens of Kunti and Draupadi and others, they were up in that some turrets of the palace watching the guests arrive, and they saw that and they started laughing. And then later, you know, that's called mistaking water for land. He thought it was water and it was land. And later he walked and there was some land which was water, and he fell in and got wet. So this is some side point here of Krishna's very interesting nature. So in this particular Leela in Hansadutta, there's one shloka where Lalita said, don't you remember? You forgot us. Okay, you're busy with the Mathura Ramanis. All these beautiful girls in Mathura, they're so refined and cultured, and they walk in such a way, and the way they hold their hands and move. And we're just village girls, and we always, you know, we make cow dung patties and carry water pots, and we kind of walk like village girls. We don't have that sophisticated city look, that polished Bollywood look. We're just gopis and sakis. And you used to be really attracted to us. You used to be mad over us and call us and be crazy about our thin waist and say, oh, Sumadhyama, and so many glorifications. And now you've forgotten everything. You've become bewildered by all those Ramanis. So sweet and poetic speech. Oh, Mathura Nath, I love you so much. But here, and no one's going to call you dirt and lampat and kapat. No one's going to call you, in Mathura, surely none of those refined Mathura Ramanis will call you cheater, you debauch, you playboy, you black thing, you snake, you lowly snake. So probably you feel happy not hearing these things that we used to tell you. So then Lita says, but don't you remember this time when you and Radharani, you took a Madhavi Lata and you planted it at the base of a Kadamba tree at Vamshivat. You went together. Radharani took her bangle, her kangan, and she dug the earth of Brajabhumi with her kangan and moved it away. And then you went in your cupped hands and you got some Yamuna water and you put it in that little hole to make it moist. And then together with both hands, you both held the Madhavi Lata and you planted it there. And then you, together with both hands, you put the earth back there. And your idea was it, and you prayed, oh, Madhavi Lata, may you grow up and may you encircle yourself around this Kadamba tree and may this Kadamba tree become your husband. Don't you remember that? Don't you want to come back and see that Madhavi Lata that you planted together with Radharani? This is one of the shlokas in Hansadutta. Because they're sending him messages. What about coming back? You know, and So now, this is a message from Hansa Dutta here, where they're sending messages. And Tvaya goshtam goshta goshti goshti tilaka kila chedvismritam idam naturnam durmorn napatir api vidate yadi kripam ahar brindam brindavana kusuma pali pali malaya daralokam shokaspadam ivakatam neshiti saki. So again, this is the beautiful poetic Parokshavad. Lalita saying, O Tilak, marking of the people. Krishna's the Tilak. His very form and existence is Tilak for the Vrijvasis. It says, Goshti, Goshti Tilaka. The Goshti means the pasturing grounds. Goshtendra, the pasturing grounds of Brajmandal and all the cowherd men. You're the Tilak. Like, there's also other places where they say Giriraj. Govardhan Parvat is the Tilak. Tilak for Vrindavan is the Tilak. And so it says, O Tilak, marking of the people of Braj, if you have forgotten Braj, and if death does not come here soon, how will my Sakhi Radha pass her days? Her days are full of lamentation, your absence. It's very difficult for all of us Sakhis to behold Radharani in such a condition. So, though filled with the fragrance of Vrindavan's flowers. So he's saying, have you forget Braj? How will my Sakhi pass her days? So this is a modifier, it's put at the end to explain Braj. Braj is filled with the fragrance of beautiful flowers. That's why it says Parimala. Parimala means very fragrant. And he's saying, you're the Tilak, and how will she maintain her life? And so this is a message that Lalita is sending to Krishna. So this is an example of messages that's given in Hansa Dutta. And then there's so many other messages also in the later in Ujjal Nilamani about love letters, etc. But he's citing this particular one in his examples. So we're repeating that. Now that's called the carrying of messages. Now the next service here is that was delivering messages and then dressing and decorating. Dressing and decorating, that's a very obvious service to the divine couple that everyone has read about or even has experienced. People are pujaris for Radha and Krishna. So Radha and Krishna are Yugal Kishore. Yugal Kishore means the divine couple. And they're every day dressing the deities in Shringar and Poshak. Poshak and Shringar, Shringar Seva. So this is an example of dressing. It's called Nepatyam. And this is particularly decorating. And the Lita, as I mentioned, these services are described in Govinda Lilamrita and Krishna Bhavanamrita. These very intimate personal services of touching and decorating Radharani's body and dressing her and painting mango flowers and mango blossoms and makari, you know, this female dolphins and other Chandra, Ardha Chandra marks of a quarter moon, painting these marks on Radharani's breast, that's done by Chitrasakhi. But now this particular service is done by Lalita. So when Lalita is decorating Radharani, she makes jokes also. So she says, listen, may the designs and patterns that I'm drawing, I often see these gopi dots or like leaves or vines. So the patterns and designs I'm drawing on your forehead with this kasturi, which is black musk, you can imagine how attractive the contrast is. Radharani's face is as gold and as brilliant and golden like a thousand sunshines. And then this opposite contrast of this shiny, shiny black musk. May the patterns I'm drawing on your forehead with musk when become
May they fall upon the face of Krishna and decorate his face when they're washed away by the drops of perspiration. So, of course, there's a lot of internal meaning to that, and that's told in the purport by Vishwanath. He's joking, Radharani's making a joke. She's simply painting her, Lalita's making a joke, and she's saying, she's painting Radharani's face. So you can see so many services are woven into one. Like you may be serving someone prasadam and tell a joke at the same time. It's possible. You're serving something. He said, you know, there's this thing like this and that, and then the person's laughing before they even start eating. So that's the chaturi, that's the chatur, the cleverness of the mantris and sakis. They can do many services at once. So she has, usually if we're painting the deities, we can't start cracking jokes. We have to be very serious, it's like, because we don't want to make it crooked, and this dot has to be exactly equal to that one, and there are different colors, and if you lean too hard, then the dot comes too big, and you want each one to be the same size, not one is, you lean too hard on the brush or the stick or whatever you're using, stick of incense, the end of the incense stick, or whatever you're using to put on dots, sometimes a brush, if you lean too hard or you dip too fast and it's too big, you take it off. Then you want to get each one the right size. So you have to be very attentive and careful that you do the correct job. But of course, they're also daksha. The sakis are expert in their sevas. So when you become expert at something, you can cook your lunch, talk on the phone, watch a video, think about your evening, because you become expert. So the cooking is second, is habit like habit. So she's painting Radharani's face with musk. Okay, ladies put some black dots on their forehead. And she says, oh, but I'm putting these black dots, I'm doing this service of Nepatyam. I'm decorating your forehead with these kasturi bindu, with these black dots. But actually, I want these dots to go off your forehead. Someone might say, what is this? You're confusing me. You're putting something on. I'm putting these dots on your forehead, but I want them to go away. And then, so she's saying, I want these dots. I'm putting these dots on your forehead, but actually I want to put these dots, these kasturi bindu, I want to put these musk dots on the forehead of Krishna. But I'm not sure how to do that, so I'm going to ask you to help me. That when you're perspiring, when you're with Krishna, you start perspiring. And when you perspire, your tilak all gets smudged up and goes kind of gets funny stuff. So when she's perspiring, then those musk drops will fall off her face and land on Krishna's face. And in order for that to happen, there has to be certain considerations. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that in his purport. And I think you can understand what he means. So this is the example that's given by Rupa Goswami in his book, because this is obviously not a book for Bhakta Joe and Bhaktin Mary. This is Ujjwal Nilmani. This is it depends on how much rag they have, because Raghunuga Bhakti can begin at the level of Anartha Nivritti if one has rag and has proper guidance. But this is considered to be this book is fully about Madhur Rati, which means the conjugal pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and fully about the sevas and moods and activities of the sakis with Krishna, which includes the manjaris. So generally the new devotee doesn't jump right into this type of subject matter, unless he's very fortunate from last life or very high sangha and guda sanskaras, very deep sanskaras for this Raghunuga Bhakti from his last life. But the subject of this class is the glorious seva of Radharani, and this is the book about Radharani and her seva. Ujjwala Nilamani. Nilamani is that Krishna, that beautiful, that Ujjwala Ras. That Ujjwala Ras means the Sringhar Ras between Radha and Krishna. Ujjwala. Ujjwala Sringhar Ras. So this is the great gem, that great blue sapphire. Nila means blue, money means jewel. So this is a great sapphire, the radiant blue sapphire of Krishna's conjugal love with Radharani, known as Sringhar Rati, conjugal erotic love. So this is obviously theirs, but it's not that it's all that intimate, but it's a very beautiful, necessary book for those following Raghunuga Bhakti. But we hear of these stories from different devotees and their disciples that some gurus would tell their disciples they should not read this book, and that has to be respected, because that's the guru-shishya sambandha, the relationship, which is based on confidence, love, trust, and service, etc. Because I've met some devotees in different missions, spiritual missions, and they said, our guru said we can glance at it, but this is not our subject. I remember hearing from one devotee, he said that our guru didn't want us to read that. I've glanced at it, I have some familiarity with it, but he didn't want us to read that. But our Srila Prabhupada, he didn't specifically say anything, but what he did say is that all the books of the Goswamis are important, and I would like to see all the books of the Goswamis translated into English. And one by one, Prabhupada was himself doing that. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Upadeshamrita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and like this. And then his followers are continuing along that line. So now the next service, this is the nice service of decorating and dressing. So this is one of the, Siddharup Bhakti, where one's practicing, doing activities now as a sadhaka, which are directly connected and analogous to the activities he will do as a siddha, as siddharup. So some devotees are pujaris, or they have their takarjis, and they're dressing the deities. So they'll be doing that eternally. And the way, that's why they say that at a certain point, certain limbs and practices of Vaidhi sadhana, they merge and become one with Raghunuga Bhakti sadhana. Because what happens is you're dressing the deities, you're doing Sringar Seva and dressing the deities in Vaidhi sadhana, and you're doing your duty and you're trying your best and to make Radha and Krishna look very beautiful and attractive and happy and pleased with your seva. That's in Vaidhi sadhana. But when one comes to the level of rag and starts to identify himself as an intimate servant of Radha and Krishna, and he identifies with the Braj Bhav and the Gopis Bhav, and he reads about those books, then his whole angle is different. His meditation, his feelings, and his outlook towards the same seva. Now, I'll give you an example. That when, in the beginning, the devotees, he dresses Radha, or then Krishna, or Radha. And when he comes to Raghunuga Bhakti, then he's reading how the Sakhis dress Radharani, how they dress Krishna, because the Sakhis and Mandris also engage in dressing Krishna in Nandagram, along with his house servants, the Gopas. There are Mandris and Sakhis also there at that time. So then, when a devotee in Raghunuga Bhakti sadhana is doing archan, seva, or dressing, he's dressing Radharani thinking, when Lalita Sakhi removes your ornaments, your earrings, and your finger rings and earrings, necklaces, especially these small items, like earrings and finger rings, toe rings, she's thinking that each one of these ornaments that I'm removing is more valuable to me than millions of my lives. So this is called Gopi Bhav. The seva externally looks the same, but his internal bhav is, I have to be so careful in taking this earring off Radharani, and it's just like my life. And he's brushing Radharani's hair, and he's thinking of all the way the bhava and the moods and the feelings of the Sakhis and Mandris when they're dressing Radha and Krishna. And moreover, when he's dressing Radharani, for example, he or she are thinking, I want to make Radharani look so beautiful. I want to dress her as if Krishna himself was dressing her. Because in some pastimes, Krishna dresses Radharani. And it's called Swadina Bhatrika, Bhatrika. Radharani, one of her qualities is she controls Krishna. It's one of her bhavas. Swadina Bhatrika, which means ordering the lover like a servant. Oh, you've disheveled my hair and disturbed all my clothes. Now put everything back. So now Krishna is like her humble servant, like her das or dasi. So he's dressing Radharani, and he's painting her feet and everything. So then the pujari, who's in that mood of Raghunuga sadhana, he'll think, oh, how would Krishna dress Radharani the way he would like? How would Krishna dress Radharani? Then when the pujari is dressing Krishna, he would think, how would Radharani dress Krishna? How would she place the garland? What colors would she use? So he's trying to think of everything from the angle and the viewpoint and the heart and the bhava of the sakis and mandris when approaching and serving Radha and Krishna. And this is because I used to discuss this with Aindra Prabhu, my godbrother, and we did pujari work in America for Radha and Krishna back in 77 to 81, 4 years. And here I was, did other sevas mostly. But we would discuss about this, and he was telling me his viewpoint of when he's dressing. And he said, this is it. I think when I'm dressing Krishna on Radharani's order. At every moment I'm praying to Radharani, how do you want Krishna to look today? Where should I put the flowers? How do you want to see Krishna? So this is obviously not the beginning devotee. This is the level of rag and the deep sense of gopi bhav. So I'm just giving you some example. They're both doing archan. So new devotee sitting in the temple, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Right? And he's trying to do vikshep and withdraw his mind from all the monkey jumping. And then he's sitting right next to some other advanced devotee. And the other advanced devotee is meditating on Leela. They're both chanting japa. And one's in rag marg and one's in vaidhi marg. So it's not such a great mystery. What is this mysterious practice of Raghunuga sadhana? There's certain specific limbs that are kind of not so much emphasized in rag marg that are part of vaidhi marg, but that's another subject. So they deliver messages and then dressing and decorating the divine couple. And now, this is fanning the divine couple. Fanning Radha and Krishna and rendering other services. We can see that. That's here. Someone says something? What? I did. I spoke it in Parokshavad. Basically, that's what he said. It's only three lines. And I said it. Because this goes on the internet. So I try to be a little, somewhat within reason. So this is called serving Radha and Krishna by fanning, etc. Vyajan Adina Seva. Chamari Krita Lata Chamarika Kunja Damni Lalita Luitangim Swidyad Akritim Abhijayat Enam Petushim Aga Haro Rasi Radam. In a forest grove, Kunjadam. Kunjadam becomes forest grove. Kunjadam. Lalita is making a chamara, a fan. From what? From latas. From the buds of a flowering creeper. And she's fanning Radharani, who is exhausted and perspiring and reclining reclining on the chest of Krishna, who is actually referred to here as Agahar. It says Agaharasi, Harorasi, Urasi means chest. Agaha. Agaha means that one who took away the life of the Aga demon, Urasi Ratham, Radharani is reclining on Agari's chest, but it comes out the chest of Krishna. And so this is a very important time to fan one when they're fatigued or perspiring. So this very precious service is done by, here it's told that Lalita is fanning Radharani after her intimate enjoyments with Krishna. And it may be some Manjri or Sakhi also that's fanning. Now, the next path, the seva is glorifying Radha and Krishna. So that sounds, we also do that. Shravanam Kirtanam. Kirti means glorification. So we're also glorifying Radha and Krishna all the time. So here, it's a little specific what they're glorifying, what the Sakhis and Manjris are glorifying. They're glorifying the love and qualities of Radha to Krishna and the love and qualities of Krishna to Radha. So there's several examples of these. It's called Prema Sakyam Krishna Premot Kirti. So this is a Prem Kirtan. Ut Kirti means a loud Ut Kirti. Premot Kirti. Krishna Premot Kirti. Glorifying Krishna's love to the Sakhi. This is from Padyavali. And he says here, a very nice Sanskrit actually. Keli Kalasu Kushalanagari Murarir Abira Niraja Abira Niraja Drisha Kativana Santi Radhe Radhe Twaya Mahad Akari Tapo Yadesha Damodaras Twayi Param Paramana Raga Param 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 Manarag Damodaras Twayi Param Param Parag. Oh Radha, in Murari's Braj, Nagare Murari, in the Braj Nagar, there are not many lotus-eyed gopis expert. No, she's asking a question. Oh, Radha, are there not many lotus-eyed gopis that are very expert in amorous affairs? She's asking a question. This is Champakalata. Champakalata is speaking to Radha. You must have performed great austerities to make Damodar love you so much. She says, Akari Tapo. Akari Tap means great. Mahad Akari Tapo. Oh, Radhe Twaya. Mahad Akari Tapo. You must have done incredible austerities to get the result of fully controlling Krishna, to make Damodar love you so much. Of course, we're worshipping Radha and Damodar. And here's Champakalata is making it sound like Radharani did tapasya to bind Krishna. And she uses the word Damodar. She could have used any word like Agari or Kansari or whatever. Gopinath or Govinda, Madhusudan, Madhukant. But she said Damodar because she is... Although there are many great, wonderful, beautiful gopis, expert in intimate affairs, but only Radharani completely ties up and binds Krishna. So from Champakalata's viewpoint, Krishna is known as Damodar. Why? Why is Krishna known as Damodar? Because Radharani ties him up and binds him with her expertise in intimate affairs. So this is glorifying Krishna's love to the Sakhi. So now that goes the other way around. This is called Gunot Kirti. This one is glorifying love, Prem Kirti. So this is Kirti. This is a kirtan glorifying love. Whose love? Radharani's love. And what has she done with her love? She's tied up Krishna. Because Radharani ties up Krishna with her love, Krishna. That person who is tied up and bound by the love of Radharani is called Damodar. So now there's an example of Guna Kirtan. There's Prem Kirtan, there's Leela Kirtan, there's Nam Kirtan, there's Guna Kirtan. So this is Guna Kirtan, text 102. Glorifying the Nayakas, or the heroine's qualities to Krishna. And we'll read the translation. This is... it says the qualities of Radha are glorified to Krishna. Lalita is speaking this verse. First, Lalita glorifies Krishna and also Radha, but especially Krishna to Radha. And now Lalita goes to Krishna and says, guess what? There's somebody named Radha. And then, and do you know who this Radha is, Krishna? Do you know something about her? How special she is? Let me tell you. When Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, the Vaikuntha Rani, the queen of Vaikuntha, when she sees the beauty of Radharani, she looks at the beauty of Radharani, then she looks in the mirror in her palace in Vaikuntha, and she says, oh, I'm disgusted. I'm disgusted with this body of mine. What is the beauty of this body? So that's the response of Lakshmi Devi when she sees the incomparable beauty of Radharani. And Lakshmi Devi is the greatest Devi and greatest queen and most beautiful, powerful entity of the whole Vaikuntha atmosphere. So now all of Vaikuntha, all the queens of Vaikuntha and all the Lakshmis and thousands of Lakshmis have just been defeated by one Radharani in Vrindavan. So now Lalita is very effectively reminding Krishna, do you know who this Radha is? She defeats in beauty every single goddess of fortune, every Vaikuntha Rani and every single Vaikuntha planet. Now let's go to the next level. Let's come into, that's in the spiritual world. She defeats the beauty of any woman. The principal woman, of course, is Lakshmi Devi. Of every beautiful queen in the spiritual world. Now let's go to the material world. Who is the most beautiful woman in the material world? Durga. Durga is the most beautiful. She's the goddess. She's the empress. She's called the empress. Ma Durga, the queen of the entire material world. She's the most beautiful feminine consort of any demigod in the entire material world, Durga. So what is Lalita, how does Lalita compare Radharani to Durga? When Durga considers vicharya guna chaturim achalaja chalajangata. When Durga considers vichar, the guna chaturi, when she considers the very amazing and expert and clever special qualities of Radharani, then what happens? She becomes embarrassed, alajam. All of her, she becomes ashamed. Oh, I have no, compared to Radharani, I am nirgun. I am nirgun Durga. I have no qualities. So then Radharani summarizes it, because there's no one left. If you take the most beautiful woman in the spiritual world, Lakshmi Devi, and you take the most beautiful woman in the material world, Durga, and one is disgusted of her beauty and the other is ashamed, then how much beautiful Radharani must be? So Krishna's thinking, wow, Lalita has a point here. Radharani, I have to think more about Radharani is special. So then Lalita closes her deal. She closes the contract and says, listen, Krishna, Who else other than Radha is suitable for you in this entire universe? Who else can my most rare friend meet? Param durlava milito kasyasa mesaki. Mesaki. My saki. Who else? She's durlab. Durlab means rare. Parama means very rare. Param durlab. So it's a very clever, this is again Paroksha Bhava, it's so deep in meaning, it's so rustic and so pleasing to Krishna. Because first she's glorifying, you know, Radha defeats all the beauty queens of the entire material and spiritual universes. She's the most beautiful. And then he's saying, so therefore Radha is the most suitable. But do you know that actually Radha is very rare? She concludes it. She's saying, first she's glorifying Krishna and saying that Radharani is so beautiful and you should choose her over anybody else in the universe. And now she actually glorifies Radharani by saying, actually, Radharani is param parama durlabh. She's very rare to attain, and I'm not sure whether you're actually qualified to attain her or not. Who else can my most rare friend meet? So there, Krishna's being convinced by the glorification of his Nayaka by Lalita Sakhi. So Vishwanath, yeah, he gives a tika here. He says, the qualities of Radha are glorified to Krishna. So this, what does this mean? That means that Krishna really enjoys hearing the Radha Guna Kirtan, the glorification of Radha. You can imagine how pleased Krishna must be with someone who glorifies Radha. We see in the Radharasuta Nidhi that Prabhananda Saraswati says, if someone starts chanting Krishna's name, it's chanting Krishna, Krishna, Govinda, Gopinath, Madhav, Govinda, Damo, Dara, Madhav, iti, then that person who's chanting Krishna's name, Radharani, will become so attracted and so satisfied and compelled and pulled and drawn that she'll run. Who is that? Who is chanting Govinda, Damo, Dara, Madhav? Who is chanting Krishna's name? She'll run to that person to find out. And then in the same verse he says, and similarly, if someone is chanting the glories of Radharani, or Radharani's name, then Krishna will run there to find out, who is that glorifying my Radha? So this is called the glorification of the Lord, the guna, Radha-gun kirtan, Krishna-gun kirtan. The qualities of Radha are glorified to Krishna. Lalita speaks to Krishna. He says, Vishnu is putting this shloka in another way. He's saying, if Radha is suitable for me, she should be my lover. You should strive for that, Lalita says. So Lalita is basically saying, you should understand that Radha is certainly the most suitable lady and beautiful lady love in the entire universe to be your match or companion. And she should be your lover. And you should strive for that. So Lalita says, but Radharani is parama durlabh, most rare. Though Radha is suitable, and that's the point I was understanding. On one side, Lalita is saying, actually, no one is suitable. No one is a better match for you in this entire universe but Radharani. Lakshmi is not suitable for you. Durga is not suitable for you. They're not good enough. They're not beautiful enough. Radha is the most suitable, but my Radha is very rare to attain. So Vishnu's bringing it out. Although Radha is suitable and she's the best match for you, she cannot be attained. But, Krishna, if you have perform lots of austerities in your previous life, then you may attain this fortune. Because they say that there's certain gifts and treasures that one gets in this life due to his purva sanskar, purva karmas and activities, punyas and janmaishvarya shruta shribir. If one does very great piety and punya in his last life, he'll have good health. That is an opulence of wealth, to have good health and digestion throughout his life. Or to have physical beauty, be very beautiful and stunning and attractive and elegant. Or to be very wealthy, or to be very educated, knowledgeable, learned, wise person, wise man or lady. These are gifts from previous austerities and charities and all good deeds. So she's saying, Vishnu is saying, if you have done lots of austerities, maybe Radharani can be yours. And then he goes on and says, Lalita saying, Radharani is said to be the wife of Abhimanyu. But Radharani is my friend and no one else's. And Radharani actually cannot be attained by marriage. So then Krishna says, well, how should I attain her? And then Lalita says, the best way to attain Radharani is that you have to become a Parakiya man. Because that means that an illegitimate lover. So this Vishnu is taking this word param. Parama Durlabha means that Radharani is very, very, very rarely attained. Parama Durlabha. And then Parama means who can attain that Parama Durlabha? Milito. Milito means Milan. Who can meet with that most rare, difficult to meet Radharani? Someone who is Param. Para means additional, means beyond, means transcendental. Para means Parakiya, belonging to another. That which belongs to another. So Vishnath is taking in his rasik vichar, he's taking this word, what Rupa's meaning by this, and what Lalita's meaning it in her Parokshavad again. Because it's just param. It could be like a double adjective. You're very, very beautiful. I could just say beautiful, but I say very, very. So it's more, it's like adverb on an adjective and to accent, emphasize the beauty. So we could say that Radharani is transcendentally extremely rare to attain. That could be the meaning of param, parama. But then he says, no, param means that parakiya. So because of Radha's suitability, she should unite with you in a parakiya manner. And param means that Radharani is extremely rare to attain. So that's what I said, there's two meanings. And then Krishna says, anyway, by my endeavors, Radharani will easily be attained. So this is Vishnu's very deep and revealing purport of what happens. And this is what Krishna's thinking is. And this is what is the inner dialogue and the heart-to-heart, mind-to-mind dialogue and glorification. Because when someone glorifies, if there's five people somewhere and one person is being glorified, the person who's speaking the glorification, the person who's receiving it, they will experience the most ras, not the other onlookers. So when Lalita is glorifying Radharani to Krishna, then there's so much ras being exchanged between the heart of Lalita and Krishna. And of course, Radharani is a source of that those waves of ras that are rising in the heart of Krishna when he's hearing this glorification of his beloved Radha. And then Vishnu, he gives a dialogue about how Krishna will respond. Well, gee, if she's so beautiful and she's so hard to attain, well, how will I attain her? Because you said she's very rare to attain. And then the Lita says, I gave you the hint. Don't, because that's what Vishnu says. On one side, parama means she's really very, very extremely difficult to attain. That's one meaning of it. Another meaning is that you have to become a param. You have to become a parakiya lover. Then you can attain her. Because she can't be attained by marriage. So Krishna's thinking, how is it? Ordinarily in culture society, if you want to attain the hand of a woman in a culture religious society, then you have to accept her as your lawful wife and get married. So is it? But then Lalita, she rules out that idea and says, no. She Radharani is said to be, she's the so-called wife of Abhimanyu. She's said to be the wife of Abhimanyu. But actually, she's my friend and she's not anybody else's friend. And although you're thinking that ordinarily a lady can be attained by marriage, Radharani cannot be attained by marriage. That's how, because she's very difficult, very different than any other woman. Acha? Well, how should I attain her? You have to become param. You know what I mean? You have to become param. Param. Oh yeah, I know what you mean. It's kind of like sign language or something. So then Vishwanath is explaining that Krishna understands, oh, the Lita's giving me a tip. She's giving me a tip how to attain that rarely attained goddess of all goddesses of fortune, Srimati Radharani, that I have to become her Parakiya lover. And of course, that's what Krishna is eternally. So we'll continue with this. Tomorrow will be Krishna, glorifying Krishna's qualities to Radha from Lalita Madhava.
Now it's Chaitanya Charitamrita class. So we should become expert in kirtan. Guna kirtan, prem kirtan.